You know, in truth, we probably should have just talked about that for like 20 minutes, hit on the fact that the Canes won, and then just moved on.
Yeah, because everything else is
kind
of depressing.
What a night. So before we get to the losses, hey, NC State, Wake Forest, need you. We need you tonight, guys. Okay? Can we have you tonight? State, you host Virginia Tech, need you. Wake Forest, you're at Georgia Tech, need you. Because otherwise, it kind of stunk. In terms of ACC ball, kind of stunk. Duke lost in overtime in Florida State. They had chances. They needed to get stops. They didn't. End of the story, really. They did enough offensively. FSU played a tougher game. They had 19 offensive rebounds. Duke turned it over 15 times. Florida State just 5. Florida State was a tougher team. Coach K, after the game, after the loss.
I think the only way you learn is through experience. You know, you can't replicate that in a practice session, you know, because you're not going to play against anybody that good in a practice session. And so that's part of a growth process, you know, for we got a lot of young guys. You got to learn from being in these experience in this type of thing, you know, and move forward.
I mean, there's only so much you can rely on youth, because Duke's used to being young, but it shows up on the road. No question about it. I don't think Florida State's that good. I'm not going to get into losses that are acceptable or unacceptable. You know, when a team doesn't compete, that those are unacceptable. But what does that even mean? Does that mean you're like the season's over? Right? But when the Hurricanes lost to the Blue Jackets a week ago tomorrow, they were poop.
Right. What do you do? Send the team to their room for the next week? Like, I don't understand.
You know, unacceptable performance. Okay, so if it's really unacceptable, what's the punishment for that? Like, we have to accept it. We have to accept it, acknowledge it, move on. So I don't put it in any category like that, but I do think that you can get caught up in the offense, and I think a lot of people get caught up in the offense, or why did Wendell Moore Jr. take the last shot, although he had a fairly good offensive game, and why didn't Paolo Banchero have the ball? Well, it looked like Florida State was trying to take Banchero away. Of course, they didn't really try to get him the ball, so you can't completely say that. But I think ultimately, one team, Alec, catch this reference, one team dug in. Trip Tracy will join us at the bottom of the hour. And one team didn't dig in. And the team that dug in won. It's really that simple. Duke will host Syracuse on Saturday. As for Carolina, that is a different animal. Because this is a bit confounding to me. I have no problem at all with Carolina losing to Miami. But they got sunned by Miami. For the record, I watched this team last couple of months, beginning of the season. I'm like, people, don't be worried. They're going to be fine. Hubert Davis is going to get them playing well. Blah, 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 blah. They're not going to be fine. Now, they still might make the NCAA tournament. But it is clear that they're not the second-best team in the league. I'm not sure there is a second-best team in the league, to be perfectly honest. But if there was one, it ain't them. I think there's sometimes a difference between liking each other and liking to play with each other. Because I have no doubt that this North Carolina team, individually, personally, feels like they're brothers with each other. They love each other, right? But it doesn't look like they enjoy playing with each other. And that is a major problem. Hubert Davis, after the game, understandably on his team.
At times throughout the year, I feel like there has been a change in mentality and effort and in toughness. And then we have a game like this. And just very disappointed. Very disappointed in our fight, competitiveness, our effort. Just very disappointed.
All right. I think the problem for North Carolina is this. Who's the alpha? Who's the engine? The engine can't be Armando Bacot. He doesn't have the ball. Somebody has to get him the ball. So the engine can't be him, and he's not that kind of a personality anyway. And I don't think North Carolina has that player. I think Hubert Davis talked about it in terms of leadership after the game.
You know, in order to be a good team, you have to have leadership. And there has to be somebody outside of me, outside of myself, outside of the coaching staff that has a voice in the locker room, that's amongst the players, that binds us together. I've never seen a good team absent of that. At this moment, we do not have any. And that's something that needs to change, that has to change, and must change. And my hope is that it will change. But at this moment, we do not have any.
Well, that is damning, isn't it? So, Hubert Davis, by the way, he's going to join us on the show tomorrow. Hubert was asked why.
You know, I told him in the huddle that irregardless of what is going on in this game and in certain games, whatever has happened in the past, that they cannot get me to change my mind, that me thinking that this team can be really good. And I truly believe that. But why is the team missing that? That's a great question. I don't know. But it is needed immediately.
There's a lot of things that team will have to work through. Mechanically speaking, I've never thought they'd be a good defensive team. They have one great defensive player in Leaky Black, and I'm not sure anybody else on the team is all that good defensively, to be honest. So they are at Wake on Saturday. That's not a great place to be if you're not playing good defense. So we'll see. They have some very good players. I've said this before about North Carolina. If you took their uniforms off and threw Wichita State's uniforms on North Carolina players, you would go, man, that's a heck of a mid-major. You don't want to play them. That's the way I look at it. I don't think they have anybody other than Bacot down low really dangerous offensively. They have some good players. And they're a very good shooting team. A very good shooting team. But athletically speaking, they're lacking. And that'll be a challenge at Wake on Saturday. All right. Somebody had to win, right, Alec? Did one of our teams win?
One of them did win, the Hurricanes, with a dominant performance in Boston last night.
Thankfully, somebody won. 7-1. Huh? 7-1? Look, I've said several times this year, I think the Hurricanes are better, flat better than the Boston Bruins. I've had conversations with people. I'm like, yep, the Boston thing, that's over. I welcome a matchup in the postseason against the Boston Bruins for a few reasons. I think the Hurricanes are simply better and deeper than Boston. I'm not put off by the physicality of Boston. The Hurricanes went to TD Bank Garden and were as or more physical than the Bruins. But this Bruins team is also not the Bruins team of 2 and 3 years ago. It's not that team. They don't have David Krejci. They don't have Zdeno Chara. They don't have Torey Krug. They just don't have the same caliber of player. They're still good, but I don't think they're at Carolina's level. And last night, Carolina proved it on their ice. I almost said their floor. I guess it is technically their floor. Slippery. Six different Hurricanes scored. They led 5-1 after one. It was 2-0 6 minutes in. Boston gets a relatively fortunate power play goal to make it 2-1. 13 seconds later, Carolina makes it 3-1. They score two more times. There's still like 3 minutes left in the first period, and it's 5-1, and you're thinking, could be 7-1 before the period's over. It was that kind of a night. Rod Brind'Amour on the hurricane of goals, if you will.
Well, I think, yeah, obviously that's where the puck's got to go to get in the net, but I think there was a purpose in what we were trying to do. And you know, listen, we scored on our chances, right? It doesn't happen a lot. A lot of times you'll have that exact same period and we're down 1-0. And, you know, it's just the way it works. We were able to capitalize and, you know, everything we did right seemed to go in the net, which was nice. And, you know, you'll take it for sure. It doesn't happen very often.
I mean, there's a lot of truth to what Rod said. But the quality of chances that they had, you know, there was one deflection goal. That was the goal that made it 3-1 right after the power play goal. The first goal was a beautiful cross-ice pass from Slavin to Teravainen. And, you know, a goalie could stop that, but you got to be hit by the puck. Mm-hmm. If it's a good shot, it's a goal. The second goal was a rebound in front and a great play by Jesperi Kotkaniemi to sweep it in. Seth Jarvis makes a move down the left. I mean, it could have been stopped, but my gosh. He just came in blazing with speed. Connor Clifton looked like a traffic cone. Boom, it's a goal over top of Tuukka Rask. And then the fifth goal was a pass from behind the net from Martinook to Derek Stepan, right in the slot. Nobody marking him. Rask doesn't even see him. It's a goal. I don't know how he's going to stop any. So,
yeah,
it's one of those periods.
I feel like last night the thing that makes the Hurricanes so fun to watch is also sometimes the thing that makes them frustrating, is because, you know, we didn't really see super greasy goals last night. Like, if you want to chalk up the KK goal on the rebound as a greasy one,
right, to make it 2-0,
I'll take that.
Right.
You know, if you want to chalk up the deflection in front as a greasy one, I'll take that too. But after that, you've basically got a series of good passes and good shots that lead to goals. And the Hurricanes make it look really fun when they score goals like that. But the problem is when they go on these long scoring droughts, where like they have at times this season, where you're like, okay, well, the way to get out of this is to get in front of the net, pick up trash and, you know, score off skates and find that kind of puck luck and stuff like that. So while it was super fun last night, and that I think we saw and we see like the ceiling of the Hurricanes in games like that, where they can be just a very incredibly high level elite type team that can go on the road and beat a team like Boston, who, yes, you're right, is not the same team that the Hurricanes have seen the last couple of years in the playoffs, and they are long in the tooth in terms of their, you know, their stars and their veterans to some degree. I mean, Brad Marchand still has more points than anybody on the Hurricanes
does.
Yes,
he does.
You know, but Patrice Bergeron, Marchand, Tuukka Rask, you know, even Pasternak at this point has been there. They've all been playing together for a long time. They're not the physical team that they used to be, but they were a team that had won 8 of their last 9 games, and they had won 5 games in a row. And Brad Marchand was the first star in the NHL last week. He had, 9 points, something like that, 6 goals or whatever. So to snap the win streak the way they did was just incredibly impressive on their part. The only thing the only nuanced part of it that I think about is, you know, if the shoe were on the other foot and the Hurricanes had gotten beaten 7-1, we'd have been like, damn, that was a butt kicking, but
yeah.
It also was not really representative of what we know the Hurricanes to be. So in terms of any kind of referendum on what this means for the Hurricanes going forward as a playoff team against the big boys and all that kind of stuff, like, I already thought the Canes were a good team, and yeah. I already thought the Canes have a chance to make a run through the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I already thought the Canes had a chance to win a cup. So that really did nothing for me. I don't think we got, you know, the best performance from Boston last night.
They were terrible.
We got Tuukka Rask on his second night back, you know, from an injury or whatever it was that he was out for. So, you know, it was sort of an outlier game in that regard. And I don't think it's representative of Boston either. All that said, I mean, you won 7-1.
We do the podcast after every game, basically. And I like to go through the goals and explain how the goals happened. And we always do this through a Hurricanes point of view.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Canes Corner podcast, wherever you get your podcast, go check it out. Alec and I talked about the game. We also talked about Decker's diaper.
Yeah, and butchering meat.
And butchering meat. That's all part of the equation in the Canes Corner podcast, the morning after edition. So from a Hurricanes perspective, if we were doing last night from a Boston perspective,
mm-hmm.
right, we would have said, maybe not on the first goal, elite pass across, great shot.
For sure.
But how do you lose? I mean, you got to win it. You're on defense. You got to win the net front battle from Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Mm-hmm.
On the maybe not the third goal. You'd be upset that the third goal happened so soon after you made it 2-1. But I mean, you gave the puck away to Seth Jarvis in the neutral zone.
Yeah, it was a terrible pass.
Oh, it was awful, awful. So that was an unforced error by Boston. The fifth goal. I mean, Derek Stepan's just coming off the bench. You lose a battle behind your net. You got nobody in front in getting in the way of Stepan. So again, these are mistakes that they made.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we took away the Boston mistakes, which some of them were caused by Carolina, they won a lot of battles on the wall behind the net that led to some of these goals. So it was clear they were better.
For sure. No
and
doubt.
Well, and now you got to back it up against the Rangers on Friday.
No, I'm with all of that. Like my point is not to be a wet blanket necessarily. But also I think, you know, the second period where Boston's clearly angry, they just had their starting goaltender run. You know you're going to get a push from Marchand. Those guys are too competitive.
Yeah.
Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak, even if they're broken up on different lines, like Marchand doesn't give up.
He's awesome.
That guy is a pest every single night.
One of my favorite players in the
league.
Yeah,
I mean, I love watching him play.
I do too.
So you know they're coming with something. The Canes immediately get themselves in trouble. They took three penalties, two within a minute span of each other, and have to fend off a 5-on-3 kill, and didn't win the period, but they also didn't give up any goals in the period.
Nothing.
They left the second period the same score it was after the first period. And that in and of itself, I think, was as big a catalyst to the win as anything they did offensively in the first.
That actually probably shows you more about them than the first period does.
Exactly.
They mitigated the damage by not giving up anything. That was, I thought, the second goal that made it 3-1 right after the power play goal and the fact that they escaped the second period without damage is more indicative of that team than anything.